to me. And I think about the last words that we were singing about laying down all lesser things for greater gain. You know, what are the lesser things? Well, I'd say everything is lesser than Jesus. That's not easy to do. I know personally I have a hard time laying down things. And that's part of what I think the Lord has for us to hear today is what those things are, maybe, for a greater gain, which is righteousness. And that's what I'm going to speaking about today. Not because I think that I have it all together or that I'm righteous. I'm preaching to myself today, just so you guys know. The Lord put this on my heart a while back, and I've been wrestling with it for a while, but He's worthy of it, so I feel like that's what we're here to talk about and hear about. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. Without that, there's no reason for us to even be here right now. We'd be out being just seeking our own fleshly desires and doing things that you've told us not to do in the commandments and in Scripture, because that's what the flesh desires. And Lord, it takes your strength, it takes your spirit in us to resist the temptations of this world and to do what we in our own flesh cannot, and that's to worship you, to live a holy, righteous life, to please you, and to also, because of the promises you've told us about in Scripture, to gain blessings. So, Lord, not that we are seeking selfishness in this, but you bless us with these blessings that you promise us as a principle of Scripture, as a result of doing the things that you've asked us to do. And we thank you for that too. In your name, amen. So, I wanted to ask, does anyone else in here need a firm, swift kick in the butt sometimes? Nod over here. I know I sure do. And that's exactly what the book of James is. I don't know if you guys have read it recently, but James doesn't pull any punches. And I appreciate that about him. And I've felt the Lord leading me to talk about righteousness today. And again, not that I claim to be any expert on it, quite the opposite. But we're going to look at some different scriptures from James and from Romans on righteousness, and it's pretty cut and dry. James doesn't sugarcoat anything, and in some ways I wish I was more like him. I wish I could be more outgoing and vocal about how I feel about things scripture-wise anyways. But yet he also calls us to be meek and timid, but I don't know that that means weakness. That's just, you know, that's a sign of trusting the Lord, you know. And we were at a wedding yesterday, and Kent, Christy's brother, read from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through a bunch, from the front of the congregation there at the wedding. And man, was that powerful, talking about your bodies being devoted to the Lord and about how to, you know, to let the Lord direct your path, and just all the stuff that Paul talked about, and that really struck a chord in me, because I've been going through some stuff this week, this last few months, I'd say persecution and stuff, that's just like, why? But the Lord knows, so I've been putting it in his hands. So I think we would all agree that the Lord calls us to be righteous. The Bible references the word righteous. It was like over 300 times when I looked into it. I was like, my goodness. So, yeah, there's no doubt that the Lord wants us to be righteous. But what does that word mean? And I think about the scripture in James where it says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I don't know about you, but I want my prayers to be effective. I don't like to go out and toil on my property and get nowhere. You know, I want to see fruit from my toils, and I feel like a lot of people do the same, that they want to be productive, they want to be effective. And I think about that verse about how, you know, if I'm going to pray, I want to know that the Lord hears me. I want to know that what I'm doing is making a difference. And so that's what kind of focused me in on, well, what is righteousness and what does it mean to be righteous? So I looked into it, and first place I started really was, well, what's the dictionary say? So here's some definitions I got from the dictionary. Characterized by uprightness or morality. So like a righteous observance of the law. Another one was morally right or justifiable, such as a righteous indignation, primarily motivated by a perception of injustice. For example, someone getting away with something that's wrong. And the other one I saw was acting in an upright, moral way. It's like a righteous and godly person. Anyone else got a cold? In the summer, of all things. So, you know, what do those, you know, which one of those definitions is the Bible referring to? I don't know. I'm not going to stand here and tell you I know. But I think it's to try and live in a way that pleases God is my, what I landed on is what God's asking us to do as a righteous person. So I want to be righteous, not only because I am a selfish person that wants my prayers to be heard and to be answered, but because God calls us to be righteous, and I want to please him because that's what makes him happy, is that we're righteous. I mean, that's why he died, is for us to live in such a way that others would come to know him. And then in James 5, verse 16, it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." So the first part of that verse I found very interesting. Confess your sins, not only to Jesus, but to others. How many people find that easy to do? Yeah, I don't. I know I find it hard to admit I'm wrong. If anyone in here has been married or is married, probably knows that's kind of tough to do, to go to your spouse and say, yeah, you were right, I was wrong. It takes a lot of time and practice to be able to have that courage to say that you're right, honey, I was wrong. But it's also a healing, because it says right there, that you may be healed. So it's right in Scripture, so it must be right, that if you want to be healed, you should not only ask God, but you should also confess your sins to one another and to the Lord. And then the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working, it says after that. So I was pretty convicted whenever I read that. I thought, my goodness, I guess I've got some work to do. Does anyone else get a nudge from the Holy Spirit whenever you're not doing things right? Yeah, if you have the Spirit of God in you, I'm pretty sure you have that nudge whenever someone's saying something to you that gets you angry, that whatever that fleshly revenge feeling that you have inside of you to retaliate, to say something back. Just an example, you know, then there's that small voice that's like, no, don't do that. You're supposed to heap blessings on people that persecute you. I'm like, how in the world am I supposed to, in my flesh, bless the person that is doing me harm, verbally, physically, or whatever? And I've always struggled with that. Maybe like a struggle with anger. I know when I was younger, I had a lot of anger from just the way people were. Kids were mean. Kids in school were bullies, and I didn't like it. And I had a hard time feeling like I could connect with other kids in school. Maybe part of what made me decide to join the Marine Corps was just that built up anger inside of me. I don't know, but it's taken a while for the Lord to heal me of that, and it's still a work in progress. But, you know, if somebody is getting in my face and confronting me or saying something mean to me, that still wants to just boil up inside of me and retaliate. So kind of like the righteous indignation, like that second definition in the dictionary was talking about. You know, sometimes I feel that boil up inside of me, and I'm like, ugh, Lord, take that away. So something else that is in Scripture that kind of threw me for a loop as I was researching this righteousness is that in Romans 3, verse 10, it says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. So I'm thinking, well, if I'm supposed to be righteous, but it says no one's righteous, well, what in the world? So how am I supposed to attain this righteousness? Yes, someone said the answer, Jesus. Jesus living in me, that's how. So that tears at me because I think to myself a lot of the times in my fleshly thinking, how can I? But yet I cannot. But by the blood of Jesus, go us. So I was also thinking about David in the Bible whenever he was confronted about his sin. Do you guys remember that? It's in 2 Samuel chapter 12 where Nathan confronts David and he says, and the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said to him, there were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. But then Nathan said to that king, David, you, David, are that man. So how many of us probably can also say that we can relate to that feeling of indignation, that righteous indignation, that how dare somebody do something so atrocious? You know, you hear in the news all these atrocities that happen all the time, and you're thinking, how in the world? But yet, how many times have I wished somebody harm? I know recently a lot, and I'm sad and embarrassed to admit that, but I too struggle with a lot of those same feelings, and I start to realize I'm no better than any other person in my flesh. I am just as bad as the most wicked person in jail right now. But by God's strength, I am called to be better, to be righteous. And it is a struggle. Some days worse than others, but, you know, he tells us that we're going to be persecuted. You know, if we're living a life that Jesus has called us to live, we're going to be teased, we're going to be looked upon differently, and we're going to get persecuted just like Jesus did. And it's not fun, all right? I mean, if you try to befriend somebody that's getting bullied, what tends to happen? Well, the people that are bullying the kid tend to bully the kids that's trying to befriend the kid that's getting bullied. And that's not fair, right? You're just trying to do what you were called to do as a Christian, to befriend others and to try and help them out. So, you know, but that's why it's so important, I think, to be in the Word, to understand that as a Christian, that's what we're going to face, and it's not going to get any better. The world's going downhill. I was just talking to several people recently about how bad off the world seems to be getting. The more reclusive people get, the more into themselves they draw, the more the enemy has a playground to play in their heads. And it's getting very difficult to imagine how much more it can get that bad. But yet we, a small group of people, not just this church, but the church at large in this community, you know, it's on us to go and spread that good news, to be that light, to smile in the face of anger, to be a helping hand to someone that needs it, even when it's hard. And I have to remember that too, that, you know, we've got to sacrifice just like Jesus did if we want to see the hand of the Lord work. So another scripture that I find that is relevant to this topic is from James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So that doesn't say draw away from God or to draw in towards yourself. It says to draw near to God. And I know that that's not easy for me to do because I like to think about my own issues and my own things going on in my own life. And it takes discipline to draw near to somebody, to have that relationship with God where if I go to him, he promises to draw near to me. And then it says to cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. Because how can you draw near to a perfect God if you don't admit that you've done things wrong? And that's a pride thing, and all of us struggle with that too. So it's, like I said, James gives a swift kick in the pants, doesn't he? He doesn't pull any punches, and that's what I need. And I think it would benefit a lot of us to just hear what the scripture says about how to draw into the Lord and to draw into others, you know, to confess our sins to other believers, because that helps heal the heart. And I know it's worked. It's worked for me recently a lot. And so the more you do it, the easier it gets. I can testify to that. So again, I need you all, and I'm hoping you feel the same, that you need each other here, other believers, to help achieve the goal to be righteous. I like the scripture that Paul wrote in Romans 8, verses 6 through 8. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So again, in the flesh. Whenever I'm tempted to do whatever pleases me, whether it to get revenge or to, to go do something that satisfies my selfish desires instead of serving somebody else. That, not that I can't ever do something like that to please myself, but it's a challenge that I find that is in Scripture that is very useful to helping me understand how to be righteous, because I have to set my mind on the Spirit that lives inside of me, and it's a conscious effort. Naturally, whenever I go home, I'm thinking about, what is today? September 7th, and it's the start of what season? Steelers are playing, right? 1 o'clock? Ah, yeah. So it's real tempting to go flip the TV on and sit there and just rot my brain watching the NFL. And, you know, and anybody that's got their, you know, their fantasy league, they want to make sure that they got their team doing good for them so they can beat their partners there that they're playing against. And all that other things, all the distractions the world has, that smartphone thing in my pocket that chimes and chirps and buzzes and tells me all the things that I need to pay attention to other than the Spirit that lives inside of me. And it's very tempting to just get so distracted by all the things outside of what we're called to do. We were talking a little bit before the service today about family, and you know, my wife sacrificed her night's sleep last night to go in and stay with my mom in the hospital because she went in last night, and she's going to be there probably for a couple of days. So that may be where I'm going when I leave here, and putting aside the football that I would like to see, but again, I need to set my mind on the Spirit. You know, and maybe it'll provide an opportunity to witness to somebody. Also, the Lord says, speak to the Holy Spirit, because he's our helper. Right? I know that it's hard for me to remember that the Holy Spirit that he's provided us whenever he went to heaven lives inside of me. It's something that is still a, kind of a strange foreign concept to think about, but yet that is what he is. He's our helper inside of us. Our flesh is fallen. In Romans 8, Paul says in verses 10 and 11, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So, I know that my body's breaking down. I know some of the others here in the congregation probably could say the same, that they wouldn't be out there trying to run a race and win a marathon like Trisha's out there doing right now. But the body is dying. The sin has caused it. But the Spirit inside of us, because of righteousness, is life. That righteousness, though, you know, we have to make a decision every day, every minute of the day. Are we going to choose our flesh, or are we going to choose righteousness? I get tired. It's a lot of decisions to make, isn't it? But yet, the more you draw closer to him, the more he draws closer to you, and the easier it gets. I like how the Message translates the last two verses of James. It says, my dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back, and you will have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. Wow. If you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Does that convict anyone else other than me? I know I'm sure convicted about writing some people off. So, righteousness should be sought not only to please God, but because we should want to see others go to heaven. So, not only do I want to be heard by Jesus when I pray, but I also want to have others go to the heaven and to have eternal life apart from hell. I know this has been a deep, strong message from James and from Paul in Scripture, but this is what I felt the Lord called me to say. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. But I want us to be in prayer today as we go to pause and pray about how has he called you to be righteous? What convictions do you feel that he's called you? Lord, I confess my inability to be righteous on my own. Jesus, thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for someone, whoever, whatever name, to turn to you. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord. Lord, none of us deserve heaven, but yet none of us can earn it. Lord, we thank you so much for your sacrifice, and let that be a constant reminder that you have done what you've asked us to do already. You've given your Son in our place. We, in and of ourselves, can never be righteous enough. We can never earn a place in heaven. Yet, because of what you've done, because of who you are, we should want to please you. We should want to be holy and to live a righteous life, to resist the temptations of the evil one. Lord, help us to remember that those temptations to do mean things or to say mean things or to lie, to steal, to all the other things that maybe tempt somebody to do wrong. Those are just stumbling blocks that the enemy puts in front of us so that we don't feel like we have something worth saying to somebody because we're not righteous. We don't have any right to talk to somebody else about their sin. Lord, let us be changed people from the inside out. You call us to come as we are. And Lord, that's how we are here. We are as we are to you. But yet we don't stay that way. We are to change, to become more and more righteous as we get closer and closer to you. Lord, as difficult as it is to be engaged in relationships with you, with others, Lord, you've called us to do that. Lord, because of that power in relationship with you and with others, that it drives that secrecy away that the enemy loves for us to stay in. He wants us to stay as recluses and to just to not share with others about struggles that we're having. Because of that power that is in that secrecy, that Lord, you know what's best for us. You've told us. You say it so many times in Scripture. All we've got to do is open it up and read it. And Lord, yet so many times we put that on the back burner because there's so many other things in our life that are more important or more urgent. Lord, help us to balance our lives in such a way that we can have that closer relationship with you that causes an outpouring of love and all the fruits of the Spirit that we are to have for our brethren, whether they're saved or not. You tell us to not discriminate, love everyone. Oh, such a tough call, Lord, to do, but yet with your help and your strength, we can do that. We pray this all in your name. Amen. Like I said, sorry it wasn't a cheery, joyful message, but he put it on my heart, and I needed to hear it. So thank you for listening to me preach to myself. So some announcements that Joe wanted me to relay. There are some cards on the back in the information section back there. And yes, worship team, please come up. The candidate meet and greet invite cards are one of the sections of cards back there. Feel free, please, to grab some of those. Invite people to come out. It's on October 4th at 10 a.m. to noon. We do need some hospitality volunteers. If anyone wants to come and help, either offer drinks or whatever snack food we may have to offer, please relay that to Joe. Another one of the cards back there is for the Philippines missions trip that Zion Clarion is sending out. There's a Bahe Siebel Amazon wish card list back there. Use the QR code on it to donate supplies for the trip that's going in October, if you so desire. And then the third card back there is for a parenting seminar that the Zion of Clarion Campus is doing on November 8th called Love Said So. So feel free to take some, hand them out, and invite people to come out to it. Another note, there's D groups that are starting soon. If you're interested in going, which I saw a lot of names signed up back there, so that's great. There's two different opportunities to attend. There's going to be a Sunday morning at 8 a.m. or Tuesday night at 6 p.m. at the Gibsons. It's going to be a potluck if you go to that one. We always like to socialize, eat, and it's been a great time. I highly recommend, if you're interested in getting involved in D groups, pick one or the other. I'm partial to the Gibsons. Books are $12 if you want one. Please sign up in the back, and we can order the correct number of books. And you'll reimburse Zion when the book or when the meetings start. So 9:28 is the first meeting, and I believe that is that a Sunday? Doesn't say. And then 9:30 is the other meeting at the Gibsons. So you don't need to go to both. If you want to go to one, just pick one. And then if neither of these times work, please let Pastor Joe know, and you may be able to set up another opportunity. And then lastly, so there's some water issues that we've been having recently at the church. I looked into earlier this week and believe that the pressure-reducing valve out there in the same hole that the meter's at is the problem. Talked to the neighbor across the road. They had water, and they told me that they had at one point had troubles with theirs, and they replaced it and it fixed their problem. So I confirmed that there was no water here this week, so I went and tapped that valve with a channel locks, and water started flowing again. So I had to do it again this morning because the same problem, no water in this church this morning, so I tapped it, and now we got water again. So Joe knows that we need to replace it, so he'll be getting one and probably need to throw it in there sooner than later because it seems like that thing's pretty intermittent. If you come in and there's not water, I can show somebody. I'm going to be leaving to go to the Outer Banks on Friday this week. I don't know if we'll have it here in time to replace it, but some other people do also know what to tap and how to get to it. Another request for the water is that we've had a bit of a higher water bill recently, and I'm suspecting it's related to the water pressure variances. Those Sloan valves on the urinals are sensitive to water pressure fluctuations, and if it doesn't balance out, it'll just run the urinal. So please keep an eye on the water, mostly in the men's restroom, I'd say. But just, you know, if you see any water running, obviously, please shut it off. But if it's the urinal, let somebody know, please, so that we can prevent the water bill from being. It was like triple, I think, this last month, probably for that reason. All right, that's all I have. Sorry for all the...
I think the urinal one is mainly for the men, because ladies, you know, you just don't have to go in.
Thank you for that clarification.